Time to take a delve into the gray area, though, on a Monday morning. Sun is out, though, for the gray area.
Yeah, it's that sun that just tells you how crisp the cold air is going to be when it hurts your face.
Yeah, Mr. Greg Gunderson with us this morning. Super Bowl recap. It was everything we hoped it wouldn't be. It was just a blowout. Just weird to see Patrick Mahomes on the field just having that Viking quarterback look like, I don't know what I'm doing. And the defensive line of the Philadelphia Eagles, total domination the entire game for the Philadelphia Eagles.
I think this is good for Mahomes' legacy. I know that sounds maybe a little bit weird, but I think this is good for Mahomes' legacy. I think this will temper the haters. I know because I am one. I like you said, this is exactly what we didn't see. And a close game would have been nice because exciting games always are. But I went in saying the first thing that I want is to see Patrick Mahomes lose. Not necessarily just for because I want that, but because he's going to acquire some. It's too early for him to win that much.
And for people to hate on, because they already think the refs are in his back pocket. So maybe some of those people will back off just a little bit. By the way, the first time you tell the Patrick Mahomes joke of, you know, referees being in his back pocket, it was kind of funny. The second time, it was just a little bit funny. But the 17th time that you tell the same joke at the family reunion, it's not very funny. So enough with the Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs refs thing.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of crap. So just leave it alone now. And it was nice. As much as I really not a big Eagles fans of their fan base, I felt good for me for Jalen Hurts, Saquon Barkley. Good stories there, some good players. I thought it was a good, clean game for the most part. There wasn't any cheap stuff going on. We're just like, we're going to win at all costs, and we'll kick you when we get up and whatever. I thought it was a pretty well-played, respectful game.
Agreed. I thought I got a little worried early when there was an OPI call in the first quarter that was called against the Eagles. I thought, here we go, and the ref commentator agreed that was one that he would have liked to not see called. But then there was kind of not an offsetting one on the same play, but in the following drive, called on the other team that was just about as ticky-tack, then they kind of stopped after that. So I doubt that the refs had a meeting and were like, hey, we got to even this out and then back off a little bit. But that's basically what happened. They called two penalties that were a little tight and then mostly let them play the rest
of the
game.
Well, the conspiracy theorists say the refs saw that the Eagles were so much better than the Chiefs that they didn't even – there's no way that they could turn this game around no matter what they did. But you talk about that first pass interference call. I agree in the fact that it should not have been called. But point number one is it was a penalty. He reached back and did hit him in the helmet. But second of all, and this happens so fast, we see it in slow motion, the defender was obviously stumbling before that even happened.
Yeah.
So it's not like he was going to jump up and intercept the ball.
No.
So it really did not have an impact on the play. But we see it in slow motion. The refs see it. Half a second, snap of a finger. He saw a hand to the face mask from the offensive player to the defensive defender, and I understand why he called it, but you're right, probably should not have been called.
And honestly, I feel that way for a lot of reasons, but in a large part because of the opinion of the commentator. I need to recognize that, because 9 times out of 10, when I see calls on the field, and then I see the slow-mo, it's like, dude, how did you see that in real time? Like, NFL refs, they get a bad rap, but most of the time, they do some really incredible stuff. Like, I'm trying to watch. I really am. We're on 10 cameras. But you, with your little human eyeballs, you got your safety squints on, and you're staring down that line. You saw it when I never could have. So, like, props, appreciation there, because there is nothing as damning as slow motion of football footage. You see so many things. It's like, well, there's 18 penalties on this footage. How could that ref standing 5 feet away not see? Time is fast.
Yeah.
Life is quick. The phrase bang, bang, play is only used. Every play is a bang, bang play. Remember that when you're ragging on the refs.
I referee JV and junior high games locally here, and now that I see a lot of these replays in college and the NBA too, they use replay very extensively. I ref games and I'm just like, I might have gotten that right. I might have not. I mean, two people reach out under the basket. The ball's going out of bounds. One swats from behind, and the both hands are there. You know, that's a call that I'm supposed to make and get it right. NBA does that maybe 50% of the time. They get it right. and the other half they get it wrong. And these are guys who are supposed to be, these are young, buff, great eyes, 20/20 vision. They can see it all. They didn't see that. So it just gives you an appreciation for the human element of refereeing and how fast the game is moving. You can't get it all right.
There's you got a no room way. Full of people watching everything that happens, and nobody would agree on it if they all had to tell the story.
Yep.
So
yep.
That's how do you possibly? I know, like in that scenario, if I'm the guy in the black and white, I'm a puddle. So I admire you, Joel. I would not do well in that situation.
The most divisive thing that can happen in a society is a gym full of people and an offensive foul call. That is the most divisive because 99% of the time, both sides think that it was or wasn't an offensive foul.
I get some anxiety. My heart rate's increasing just thinking about that.
But it was obviously a very disappointing Super Bowl. I was, I admit, I did watch the commercials. I wasn't intently on them as I normally am.
Yeah.
I was disappointed. What did you think of the commercials?
I was honestly thinking about that a lot, that exact thing, on my way in, on the drive in this morning. I think that our relationship with TV and with specifically advertisements has changed. And so I think the golden era of Super Bowl commercials is probably fading. I mean, football is less accessible than ever as the games throughout the regular season and even the postseason are parted up and put on different networks. And, oh, I don't get to watch Thursday games because I'm not paying for Amazon Prime and things like that. So I think there's a lot less of kind of, you know, there was almost like an agreement. There was almost kind of a gentleman's agreement like, hey, I'm going to go watch the Super Bowl. And this is the one time that I'm actually going to pay attention to the advertising. And the advertisers took that and they took that football, no pun intended, but they took that and they ran with it. They said, okay, cool. If you'll agree, I'll reward you with only the best I've got. And only the best. I mean, we're going to break out the specials. They're going to be 60 seconds instead of 30.
Creative teams. We're going to spend thousands and millions
on actors you recognize. Yes. I mean, we're going to pull out every single stop. And of course, that made them the most expensive ads to make.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, these publicly traded companies eventually had to look and say, in order to maximize value for our shareholders, we had to minimize the cost of the production. And then all the fun, there it went, out the window. It's gone, and it doesn't come back. It's like the blue smoke in electronics. When you fry them, you can't recapture the blue smoke, put it back, and make it work.
Because there's already an $8 million charge up front for a 30-second spot.
Yes,
on average.
The magic has been released. Now, I think there are ways to improve on Super Bowl ads and get it much closer. You could even make them as good as they used to be, but I don't think you're ever going to recapture the relationship between the viewer and that willingness to watch. Because ads just 15 years ago, ads were whether we wanted to, you know, it was about whether you did the things that brought you ads. Now, your life has ads. Period. Mm-hmm. It's about what you do with them and whether you do take on the extra where it's possible. There was people had room in the tank before. Like, yeah, we can take on a few more ads if they're really nice. We'll watch them willingly.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy the Matthew McConaughey conspiracy food NFL theory commercials. I enjoy those a lot. I didn't see the 60 during the game, but I saw it because they leaked these commercials beforehand intentionally. So they get more bang for the buck. But I think the Matthew McConaughey conspiracy theory that it's all just about selling food is pretty good. I like that.
Well, it is. I mean, you know, it's funny because the first thing that comes to mind after that is like my first thought was, yeah, they're just blasting us with that particular ad campaign, though. And it's very effective because Jerry's eating rice. I mean, it is a good ad, but you know what I can't stop thinking of? Whopper, Whopper, chicken, Whopper. It just repeatedly, I can't let it go. That is too good of an ad. And that isn't even a Super Bowl ad. That's just, that's burning in. And I wish that brain cell would let go, but it's just, nope. It's singing in the background. I can hear it with a bass beat.
There's nothing that stands out for me commercial-wise from the event. The halftime show was for that genre of music was very good. He's a very talented young man, and he's a good guy, a good role model. If you don't like rap music, you didn't like it. But as far as the quality of it, I thought the choreography and the dancing was wonderful. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. If I could give one piece of advice to people who aren't asking for it, people who have comments about the halftime show, if you didn't like it, that's the best thing to say. I don't like rap.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Next topic. That is the... You know what I can't stop thinking of? Whopper, Whopper, Chicken Whopper. It just repeatedly, I can't let it go. That is too good of an ad. And that's been... That isn't even a Super Bowl ad. That's just... Oh, that's burning in. And I wish that brain cell would let go, but it's just... Nope. Yeah. It's singing in the background. I can hear it with a bass beat. Whopper,
there's
whopper,
just nothing there's nothing that stands out for me commercial wise from the event. The halftime show was for that genre of music was very good. He's a very talented young man, and he's a good guy, a good role model. If you don't like rap music, you didn't like it. But as far as the quality of it, I thought the choreography and the dancing was wonderful. I really enjoyed that.
Yeah. If I could give one piece of advice to people who aren't asking for it, people who have comments about the halftime show, if you didn't like it, that's the best thing to say. I don't like rap.
Mm-hmm.
Period. Next topic. That is the best way to treat that whole thing.
Right.
I don't like rap. How's the weather today? that is a model conversation to have. Other versions may tempt you. Don't.
Yeah. Yeah. Just leave it alone. Just leave it alone. There's not many things in the world that is more diverse or unexplainable than someone's personal music taste.
Yeah.
So just respect what it is and move on. If it's not you, then just move on to the next thing. Right.
It didn't disrespect you. Like, if you didn't like it, that's fine, because it wasn't about you. That's the thing. There's a lot of the commentary on any given topic. Super Bowl performance is this from this weird new point of view that, hey, what is my perspective on this? But what about my perspective? You know, well, it was there and it's going to continue to be there. And if we take account of everyone's perspective, we're all just going to run out of time.
Yeah. I think the ideal Super Bowl halftime show, and I'm sure maybe they've done this at some point, I think they hand pluck an artist from all the genres, or take a country, take a Mellencamp from the rock and roll era, take a Kendrick Lamar, take a Pavarotti, just find a way to blend them all into one performance at halftime and see if anybody has anything bad to say about it.
We gotta do a We Are the World minus the corniness. Like, yeah. let's do like a We Are the World style of performance, but of something timeless, like Bohemian Rhapsody or something like that, because that's something that everybody could throw in a line on and you still have room for like every artist ever being as long as it is. Or like, let's do the non-radio edit of Hotel California, but one line, one sentence from each artist from the last 30 years. We probably would still have a little bit of room on the back end if anybody wanted to throw in a verse, I think.
Yeah.
Was that 8.5 minutes?
Yeah, something like that. So now the off-season discussions, of course, begin. There's not a whole lot of, I mean, there's every team has their things they'll talk about. The Packers have... They have their quarterback. They obviously need kind of a main wide receiver and a few things here and there. But there's other things. The Vikings, of course, and Sam Darnold will be a big topic of discussion. So the offseason, the NFL has they have a plan to always stay out there. Every week the NFL reveals something, the schedule,
yep,
or whatever it may be. So the NFL news cycle will continue. And now we start talking about free agency and who's going to be moving around.
Oh, and I will say there was a commercial that told me how I'm going to spend a lot of my offseason. This is going to be the first year I take heavy interest in the UFL.
Yeah, I saw that ad. Yeah,
well, it said 7 weeks until football. I thought, what? That math is bad. Like, we just entered the desert of despair. Like, yeah, today is day one of the time I don't like. Like, what are you talking about, 7 weeks? I know even the Hall of Fame game is months away, but then it said UFL. But that reminded me, too, there was another commercial that really caught my eye, and it wasn't for its fun or creativity. It was for the fact that it was, I think, breaking some news. I don't know if T-Mobile had announced that Starlink partnership before.
Okay.
So I'm sure we're going to get a whole bunch of terms, conditions, and asterisks, but that commercial was implying that it was going to reach anywhere that you can see the sky.
Okay.
They claim that there was going to be cell coverage with that T-Mobile Starlink partnership anywhere you can see the sky. That was kind of their pretty tagline.
Well, satellite phones and all that, that's coming.
Yeah.
As soon as they can figure out how to make money off of it, it'll happen. So the UFL, we've got the Arlington Renegades, we've got the Birmingham Stallions, we have the Detroit Panthers, the Houston Roughnecks, the Memphis Showboats, the San Antonio Brahmas, B-R-A-H-M-A-S.
Yeah, Brahmas. I think Brahmas. That's a type of goat.
Okay, the I love that. St. Louis Battlehawks and the Washington, D.C. football team because they just can't figure out what's politically correct,
Joe,
apparently.
I think you did mispronounce one of them. I believe those are the St. Louis Battlehawks.
Battle
I don't think you can say that calmly.
All I know is if the Brahmas are a form of goat, my wife will be watching. She's a big goat fan. San Antonio Brahmas, the goats. There's the UFL League coming to a television. Near you. All right, great. Good to talk to you. Greg Gunderson will be back in throwing some snowballs this afternoon after 2 o'clock.